I said, it is being recorded, so be careful what you say, all right? I need to be careful what I say, actually. So we are starting off with a bang with communication, all right? Why do you think we're starting off with communication? That's the first step. That is the foundation. Maybe you have looked at the other topics. The next 2 weeks will be conflict resolution. Do you think you're going to struggle with conflict resolution if you don't communicate well? Yes, definitely. Do you think you're going to struggle with intimacy if you don't communicate well? Most certainly. All right. Do you think you're going to struggle with finances if you don't communicate well? Yes. All right. So I think you understand the point of this. When there's no communication, everything else struggles. It will be a war if communication is not what communication needs to be. All right. And the same with blended families, in-laws, and then roles and responsibilities. All right. Communication is key. Who's ever heard that phrase before? Communication is key, right? It's key in, it's key in sports. Right? Communication is kind of important. It's key in your jobs. All right? If your boss just all of a sudden assumes or expects you to do what he tells you he wants you to do without communicating with you, and you don't get it done, and he comes to you and says, well, why didn't you do this? And you say, well, you didn't tell me to do it. And he said, well, okay, that's my bad. Exactly. That's communication, right? Communication and that, communication in school, communication in life, and communication in marriage is no different. I think I would almost say that communication in marriage and the way that God set up marriage and the institution of marriage is probably one of the most important things that you will do as a couple is communicate back and forth well with one another, all right? So tonight, Paige and I are tag teaming. I will be the first 30 minutes, and I will be kind of doing it from more of a biblical perspective. And then Paige, in the last 20, 25 minutes, we'll be talking about communication styles, all right, and how you communicate with your spouse or with other people, all right? Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Blank struggle in this area more than blank do. Really? You think so? You don't think so? Okay, what do you think? You think women struggle to communicate more than men?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, that's not to say every woman is better at communicating than every man. Gosh, gracious. Okay. That's my brother. Men tend to struggle in the area of communication more than women do. All right. Now, again, not to say that every man struggles more than every woman, but more times than not, if we took a poll, all right, men struggle in the area of communication more than women do. All right. Now, that's just kind of how we are in general. That's just how we're wired. That's just how God kind of he put us together. He wired us. Obviously, men are wired different than women. We all know that, but it's no different in communication. We communicate in different ways. All right. Ladies, how many of you would say that your husband is a good communicator? Raise your hand. One. All right. Women, we got an back there. Yeah, we're still working on it, aren't we? Yeah, okay. Ladies, how many would say that your husband is a bad communicator? You answer for yourself, Ben? Okay. How many would say my husband's in the middle? Would probably be the majority of it, all right? Men, how many of you would say that your wife is a bad communicator? Be careful. Okay. How many would you say that your spouse is a middle of the road communicator? And bad. Be careful. Right? Okay, so that kind of proves my point a little bit that men tend to struggle again, all right, in the area of communication more than women do, all right? When one or both parties struggle with communication, it breeds frustration. Okay. When, all right, one or both parties struggle with communication, it breeds frustration, all right? I've experienced this in my marriage. I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? Anyone else experience this in their marriage? Okay, right. It's just the way it is when and that's just the same. Again, at the workplace, it's no different. On a sports team, it's no different. In school, it's no different. In marriage, it is no different. When one or two parties struggle with communication, that breeds frustration. Okay, ladies, when you say, no, hold on, I want the men to answer this question. Men, when your wife says, "I have nothing to wear," what does that mean? A multitude of things. She probably doesn't. I mean, there's a bunch of different answers, but she may not like the way things fit or things look on her. All right, ladies, when men say, "I have nothing to wear," what does that mean? Everything's dirty, right? Laundry needs to be done, right? We'll cover that in roles and responsibilities. Okay, laundry needs to be done. So the woman can say the exact same thing the man can say, right? And the answers and what is the reasoning behind are two totally different schools of thought. The women, "I just don't like the way this fits." Now, my wife says this, and she has got a full wardrobe of clothes. And for her to say, "I've got nothing to wear," I always just shake my head and I'd say, "No, you have plenty to wear, honey. You just don't like the way that looks on you right now." Okay, all right. And if I say I have nothing to wear, that means what I want to wear is in a dirty clothes. It's in a dirty clothes hamper, and I need to get it out and I need to wash it. Okay, so that's just kind of a little bit of an example of the different communication styles. All right. So we're going to kind of dive into this topic and see how we can be better communicators. Now, I will say this: I've got 30 minutes. This is a topic that can probably could probably take like a whole month to talk about. All right. Now, if there was a little, you say, "Aaron, I give me a golden nugget. Give me like a one-liner that solves all my communication issues. Tell me to do this and I can fix it." All right. That thing doesn't exist. Or this, if it did, this class wouldn't need to exist. Okay. If there was just one little thing you could tweak or you could fix to be a better communicator, everyone would do it. But that's not necessarily the case. It's not the case at all, okay? That's why we are here, all right? And so let's go ahead and talk about first, what is communication? Someone tell me, what's communication? It didn't have to be like a big, long, drawn-out definition, but to you, what is communication? Okay, to-do lists. Kayla, what's communication to you?
Just like relationships, I mean, like, I guess in my world, like just breaking that like wall down, like comfortable, like one-on-one interaction.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Caleb, that was going to answer that I wasn't. The other Caleb, that's two Calebs behind you. No, that's fine. Well, I'll ask you, what you're not married, right? You're engaged. You and Chelsea are 1 month. All right. Good. I like it. What's communication to you?
Just like
Chelsea, details. I'm going to ask you next, so be ready, all right?
Exchanging details.
Exchanging details, okay.
I was going to say how you express how you feel to the other person without them getting upset or like trying to understand.
Okay, all right. Is communication talking? You're quick to answer that one. Okay, read a lot of nonverbals. Okay, all right. Anyone else? Is communication talking?
I'm a lot better communicator when I listen.
You're a lot better communicator when you listen. Good. All right. Communication is not simply just talking. All right. Here's a definition. All right, that I found, and I like this definition. And it's kind of a long. It's kind of a long one. It's got a lot of stuff in it. All right. But it says communication in a relationship is the active two-way exchange of thoughts, feelings, and needs. All right? Far more than just talking, it is a foundation of emotional safety and trust involving deep listening, empathy, and understanding. Okay? Now, I know that's a mouthful. That's a lot, but that's a very detailed description of what communication is. All right? Talking is not communication. All right? Jenny and I kind of, I wouldn't say, we at some point we struggled in this. We kind of got over this, but what, and I'm going to use a lot of examples of me and her probably, and I hope she doesn't listen to this, but I think she would be okay if she did. She would get frustrated with me because I would get home from work and she would say, "How was your day?" And I would say, "Good, fine, okay," all right? She wasn't looking for me to say good. She wanted to kind of, she was looking to have a conversation. And men, we're just, that's just typically not us, right? Kind of like when you ask your kid, "What'd you learn at school today?" "Nothing." Well, no, you learned something, but you just don't want to communicate what you learned, right? I call that kind of small talk stuff, all right? Another one, you know, "What did you have for lunch? I'm trying to communicate with you." Well, what we're going to talk about tonight, okay, it needs to be more than just small talk stuff. That stuff is important. Don't get me wrong. Like, you need to be able to go back and forth and stuff with your spouse. But when it comes to important communication, all right, it needs to be the stuff that we're talking about possibly later. When you have conflict, all right, you need to be able to have conversation about the conflict. Not just, "How was your day today?" No, listen, you know, we've got an issue here. We've got a problem here. Let's sit down and let's talk about it. All right. We need to hash this out. We need to have communication about the thing that wedge, that whatever the wedge is. It could be conflict. It could be intimacy. It could be finances. It could be any of the number of the topics that we're going to bring up. That is when the communication really needs to take place and it really needs to ramp up. Okay. And so that's kind of, when I say communication, I'm talking about the important details of our marriage communication, not just "How was lunch today?" or, you know, "How was your day?" type stuff. Again, that's important. That's okay. But the deeper side of things, the more relational side of things. All right. Let's see here. Here's what I also want to say. All right. What I will talk about is nothing you probably haven't heard before. If you want to be a better communicator, you just have to put it into practice. All right. I'm not going to say anything that you've probably never heard before. Okay. So if you're looking for that, I'm sorry. Okay. But what I am going to stress to you is knowing what to do. All right. I think we would probably all say communication is important and we need to communicate. But when it comes to actually putting it into practice, That's the divider point. That's the problem. That's where most of the issues lie. I know I need to communicate with my spouse. I just don't want to. I just don't know how to. I just don't want to make things awkward. I just don't want to make her mad. Well, guess what? Those difficult conversations need to take place, right? And maybe you married someone who's a little bit more quieter, okay? I'm a little bit more quieter. Ron's a little bit more quieter. I'm trying to look at who are my quieter people here. No, you're definitely not quiet, Matt. Sam is a little bit more quieter. Do you raise your hand for him?
No, for me.
Oh, you're the quieter person. Okay, you're the quieter person. Actually, you both are quiet, I think, right? Two quiets. Quiet introverts tend to struggle with this. So if you're a male and you're an introvert, you really probably struggle with communication, okay? But it's extremely important, all right? Extremely important. Men, we are called to what? Our wives, just like Christ blanked the church. Love, okay? Now, men, I'm going to talk to you just for a second, all right? Since we tend to struggle in this area a little bit more than the females do, all right? We are to love our wife just as Christ loved the church, okay? Now, when I say love, okay, there's a lot there, all right? There's a lot that goes into loving your spouse, all right? It's providing for them and protecting them. But one of the things, all right, that we are called to do is love each other, Ephesians 5:25, all right? With that being said, one of the ways we love our wives is by meeting their emotional needs. One of the ways that we do that is by what? Communicating, right? And not only, and communicating and listening at the same time. So men, if our marching orders are to love our wife just as Christ have loved the church and gave himself for it, all right? And if we are doing that, one of the things that we need to be doing is communicating with our wives and talking with our wives. Because at that point, it goes from just talking back and forth to more of the emotional side of things, okay? And that gets you brownie points, right? Okay, when we talk and when we listen and when we communicate, all right? Now that we know what that is, let's talk about it, all right? Number one, first, two points, and I need the boogie, all right? Sorry, Paige, I'll go as fast as I can. First, communication, now this is elementary and I get it, but listen to me. Communication must happen if your marriage is going to flourish. You say, well, duh. All right, but how many couples do not communicate the way that couples should communicate? Again, we know it needs to be done, but putting it into practice is totally different. That's where the struggle comes in, okay? That's where the struggle comes in. Usually, if a marriage is struggling, there's a lack of communication, okay? Now, I'm not saying that communication is a fix-all be-all to every marriage, all right? If you start communicating, your marriage will be 100% better. No, but if you start communicating, it will probably help your marriage a lot, all right? So communication is extremely, extremely important. It won't fix a marriage, but it can't hurt a marriage, all right? Some of you must force yourself to communicate. Like I said, especially the quiet people. It must be a constant thought for you quiet, non-communicative people. It must be a constant thought. Just like if I decide today, starting July 1st, I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to go to the gym, all right? But let's say before I ate like a total just slob, total pig. I ate whatever I wanted, didn't think anything about it, okay? But if I made the commitment to eat healthy and go to the gym and I'm not used to doing that, what do I have to do in order to start doing those two things, eating healthy and going to the gym? I have to what? I got to think about it. It's got to be on my mind all the time, all right? It's got to be on my mind when I walk into a restaurant and instead of chicken fingers and french fries and a Mountain Dew, I get a salad. And when my alarm goes off at 6 o'clock or whatever to go to the gym, I don't hit snooze and say, I'll start tomorrow. No, I get up. You have to constantly think about it. Men, all right, or women that struggle to communicate, all right, that is something you have to constantly keep on your mind all the time. It has to be there. It has to be there. What is the key to doing something over and over and over and over again? Repetition. Insanity?
I don't know either.
Yeah, that's that definition, doing the same thing over and over, wanting different results, right? If you're going to get good at something and make it not even a thought, it's repetition. Who has a checklist for in the mornings, brush my teeth? Anybody have a checklist for brushing their teeth? How about taking a shower? How about putting your clothes on? No, we don't have checklists for those things because those things, we've done them so long, they just become natural. We don't even think about it. We just do them, all right? Communication needs to get to that point, but until then, it needs to be something that we are always thinking about, all right? In car rides, how can I communicate? When I get home from work, how can I communicate? When we're laying in bed, how can I communicate? In the morning, how can I communicate? It has to be something that is on our minds all the time, all right? let's see here. The more people, and this is kind of a little side note, but the more people that are in your house, the more communication needs to happen. Okay, Jenny and I, this has probably been our biggest struggle in communication with our children, all right? When we got married, I think we communicate halfway decent. I'm not the best communicator, but I do okay with it, and she does pretty good with it. But when it came to our children, that's when we figured out that we weren't as good of communicators as we thought we were. Now, some of you don't even have kids in the house anymore. Some of you do. I'm, you know, seeing some younger people, some people that don't even have kids, all right? The more you communicate before all these extra things come into life, all right, the easier it is when those extra things come into life to communicate, all right? You've already got that habit down. You've already done it. You already know how to do it. And then bringing the kids in, it's not such a big deal. Or bringing anything in, it's not such a big deal, okay? So the more people you have in house, the better you need to communicate. I will say this. Here's a kind of a little a one-liner. If you struggle with communication, you need to set aside time to do so. If you struggle with communication, you need to set aside time to do so. All right? We set aside time for almost anything else. Who ate today? Three of you ate today? Okay, good. All right. We all ate today. We set aside time for lunch and breakfast. All right? Did anyone work out today at all? You set aside time to work out, did you not? Okay. Anyone play with their kids today? You set aside time to play with their kids. Anyone go to work? We set aside 8, 10, 12 hours, whatever it is, whatever job you work, to go to work. We set aside time for everything. All right. If you struggle with communication, there needs to be a time, whether it's every day, whether it's every other day, whatever it is, with no distractions, that you need to set aside a time to really communicate. Not what, hey, how was your day? But hey, ask your wife or your husband, either one, how am I communicating? Have grade me on my communication. And if your wife says you're struggling, then you're like, okay, we need to set aside time. All right. And vice versa. All right. So number one, it must happen if your marriage is going to flourish. And then second, kind of goes to what Jason spoke to. Communication involves active listening. Focus on the word active, all right? James chapter 1, verse 19 says this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath," all right? Notice the order in that verse. Listen, speak, don't get angry. It's not speak, then listen, and don't get angry. See, often we do the opposite, right? I'm just going to use me and Jenny as an example. She's saying something, da da da, and I hear something that ding, me, and then what do I do to her? Interrupt her. And that doesn't help with anything, right? That doesn't help at all, right? But she wasn't done talking. I shouldn't have been ready to talk. I should have listened. But that's the order that James puts in. He says, listen first. Let that person speak their piece, all right? Whether you agree or not, let them speak, all right? Or you listen, let them speak, and then you speak, all right? And then nobody gets angry, or you shouldn't get angry, okay? That's extremely important. We say, I don't do that. We do it all the time. I do. I don't necessarily get angry, all right? But I cut Jenny off all the time, unfortunately. Anybody else? Or just me? Okay, all right, good. Just making sure. Yeah, right? Listen, then speak, and don't get angry, all right? A couple of things. Healthy communication is not listening, it's active listening. Number one, the first thing, swift to hear. This is attentive presence, all right? In marriage, we often listen just long enough to formulate a counter argument, do we not? Yes, we do. Being quick to listen means shifting from a defensive posture to a curious one. It means prioritizing understanding your spouse over, here it is, winning a point. That's important. Often in communication and different sides of the story, one person is trying to convince the other person that they're wrong, and they're trying to convince the other person they're wrong, and it's just like this, right? It comes to an argument. You're no longer communicating anymore. Now you're arguing, all right? So it's swift to hear. It's attentive presence, all right? When a spouse feels truly heard, their emotional defense mechanisms lower, creating a safe space for vulnerability, all right? Number three, slow to speak. This is a measured response, all right? A measured response. This is all about restraint and timing. It means restraining the urge to interrupt, talk over, or use weaponized words in the heat of the moment. Proverbs 12:18 reinforces this. It says this, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Take a breath before responding. Taking a breath before responding allows you to speak with clarity rather than reacting out of raw emotion. All right? And then slow to wrath. This is emotional regulation. Anger is a natural emotion, which is a God-given emotion, which is great. But reactive anger shuts down productive communication instantly. All right. Being slow to anger doesn't mean suppressing your feelings. It means managing them so they don't hijack the conversation. It allows couples to tackle the problem together as a team rather than tackling each other. Okay. Use terms like this. I see your point. I understand what you are saying. I get it. I agree. All right. These are terms that help the other person, help them understand that you understand. All right. You see their point of view. All right. You see their point of view. All right. you may not always be right about everything, all right? Shocker, I know, all right? But at least listen to the other person's point of view, all right? It may be actually better than yours. I've experienced that. I've had something, I've had my mind set on something, and I was like, Jenny, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And she kind of, well, let's look about it this way. And I'm like, I don't like that way, I don't like that way. And then she starts talking, I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, that does make sense. Maybe you kind of didn't know what you're talking about, right? And it's okay to be wrong. I mean, it's okay to listen to somebody else's point of view. It's what it is when pride comes in to say, no, my way's right. I'm planting my feet, you're not moving me, all right? That's not good for marriages in any aspect, not yet alone communication. Sometimes body language says more than our words, all right? What your tone is important, and Pedro will probably talk about this a little bit more. Your body language is important, okay? Keep that in mind. It frustrates me to death, all right, when I'm talking to someone and they look 100% not interested. You ever been talking to someone like that? You're talking to him, and Matt's talking to me, and I got my phone out, and he's talking, and I'm now look over here, and then right, and I'm not looking at him in his eyes. I may be hearing him, but I'm not listening to him. Right? That frustrates me. I want to almost just turn around and walk away from that person. I'm like, when you're ready to listen, I'll talk to you, but until then, you know, just stay away. All right. So be cognizant of those things, all right? Good communication involves active listening. A few final thoughts, all right? Over-communication is better than under-communication. Some people don't like that. I don't like that. I'd rather under-communicate, all right? But in marriage, over-communication is so much better than under-communicating, all right? Number two, when communicating is lacking, assumptions are made. Right? And we know what happens when we assume, right? It makes it out of you and me, okay? And so assumptions are not good. So when communication is lacking, assumptions are made, all right? And then the next one, always speak the truth to your spouse. Never lie to your spouse, right? I think that's, it should be elementary, but it's not. The thought of it is, but actually putting it into practice isn't, all right? Okay? Let's say your wife comes to me and says, how's this dress look on me? What do you say? Great. Wonderful. Marvelous. Great. Right? Good. You sound like you've learned a few things in a couple years of marriage, right? 14 years. You learn a lot. You should be up here teaching this, right? Ephesians 4:5 says, speak the love in truth. I think that's important. Speak the love in truth. All right? And then lastly, be mindful of your words because your words matter. Your words matter, all right? Words have weight. They matter, okay? I'm not going to read them, but Proverbs 12:18, Psalms 19:14, and Proverbs 18:21. Listen, I'm about to give it over to Paige, but here's what I want. Here's your homework, all right? Every couple in here, or soon-to-be couple, whatever. Here's your homework. Between now, well, by the weekend, have a conversation, or have a communication talk, all right? Ask your spouse on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do I communicate? All right? So I would ask Jenny, how well do you rate me on communication? All right? And vice versa, you ask them that question. All right? You'd be surprised at what can come from that question. There's a lot that can come from that question. All right? I don't think anyone's ever reached the communication, you know, I'm the perfect communicator, right? I don't think anyone does that, right? It's something we have to always keep on our mind. It's something that we always have to think about, and it's something always we have to work on. We have to refine it, right? Because conversations between an engaged couple and conversations between a couple that's been married 10 years with two kids and a conversation of a couple that's been married 20 years with older kids and a conversation with someone that's been married 50 years, right? All those four conversations are probably going to look a lot different, right? They're going to look a lot different just because you're in different phases of life, right? So your communication, it may change a little bit based on the dynamic of your marriage and where you are in that marriage, but communication always needs to happen, all right? So that's your homework for the week, by the weekend. Have a conversation with your wife or your husband. How well do I communicate with you? Grade me, all right? And what do I need to work on, all right? write them down, put them on a whiteboard, put them in your notes, on your phone, whatever, and then practice those things, all right? Be intentional about getting better in those things. And have your spouse keep you accountable. Am I doing better at communicating? You were a 4, now you're a 4.5. Okay, hey, we're getting there, right? All right, just don't go down. Just don't go from a 4 to a 2, all right? Just don't do that, all right? So that's all I have to say about communication. Paige, come on up, and she's going to tackle a kind of a different side of communication as far as communicating or communication techniques and styles.
Yeah. Give me a pass of one. Yes. Each couple gets one. Yep. Or if you're in here single. Okay. All right. So some may not know, but I have a day job, and that is I'm a counselor. I'm an LPCC, so I primarily see kids, teenagers, and young adults. I was at work, and Dad called me. I didn't answer. He left the voicemail, and he goes, "This is your pastor. If you can give me a call back immediately," I knew. I was like, "What do you want?" I called back. I said, "What do you want?" He's like, I have a favor." I'm like, "Well, how can you say no to your pastor? You know, he's my dad, but he can also pull that card too." So I would say a good 8 out of 10 times when I am counseling someone, one of the primary issues is communication in some aspect of the way. If it isn't the number one issue, it comes up along the way, because anytime you have two people, anytime there's a person with a problem, it's usually a barrier in communication. So I'm going to talk about the 5 major communication styles tonight. We're going to go pretty in depth. I have more in depth than you guys do. So if you see me adding some things, or if you want to add something, take a pen out, that's completely up to you. But before we start that, I do want to do a plug for marriage counseling. I know when you get engaged, there's a lot of premarital counseling, which is great. I think it's highly beneficial if you're able to do that. 8 months, I don't think Alex would mind, but 8 months into our marriage, we had to seek marriage counseling because we did not communicate well. And it's kind of ironic that he's the one that said, "We're going to marriage counseling." I'm the counselor. I was like, "No, I got this. We're fine," as I'm packing my suitcase ready to go to my mom and dad's for a week. Literally, that's when we had the conversation. And he's like, "No, we need to go to counseling." So we did. We went to a pastor over in Ashland somewhere, who came highly recommended, and wow, it was incredibly, incredibly effective. I think even if you say our marriage is great, I still think you need to go to marriage counseling, because I think every couple at some point needs to have that, either that reassurance or just someone to be like, "Hey, have you thought about this?" And it's not someone, I'm not saying go to Joe Schmo over there, who's the psychologist, and that has zero biblical background, because in this sense, it's incredibly important to go to someone who has a biblical background. Because if you go to marriage counseling, honestly, worldly marriage counseling is going to say, "Hey, you do you." And if they don't like it, sucks for them. That's not how we handle things around here. Oftentimes, and when it comes to Christian counseling and biblical counseling, you are to basically die to your spouse. You need to serve your spouse. So that means you die to what you want, your needs, oops, my bad, for theirs. So I think it's incredibly effective. I think it's important. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are in your marriage. I think everyone needs that. So let's get into it, because I have a lot to talk about, and Aaron only gave me 25 minutes. So we're going to talk about the 5 major communication styles. I'm actually kind of giving you homework, but you're going to talk about it with your spouse while we're in here for like a minute. No one has to stand up and say anything. It's going to be completely between you and your spouse. I hope that we don't spark any arguments with this, because I'm like, well, I could see it being like, 50-50, but it's fine. It'll be fine. So let's start with number 1. So this is the aggressive communicator. And take notes of which one that you are, because that's a part of the exercise at the end, okay? All right, so this person, it prioritizes one's own needs, opinions, and rights while ignoring others. So pros, because I did pros and cons, because there is always pros and cons to everything. So a pro to this is that it gets the point across. It delivers direct, undeniable clarity on what you want or need. There's an immediate impact because it prompts swift action. If you're an aggressive communicator, you're basically like, now make a choice now. Like, we're doing this right now. So a pro to that is you do get an immediate impact. It asserts boundaries. Oftentimes people forcefully prevents others from taking advantage of you. Usually those who are very aggressive in how they communicate, they have a lot of reasons why they communicate the way that they are is maybe because they've been taken advantage of before, or they've had some issues before. And so they are very much like, here is a clear boundary. You will not cross it. It's intimidation in a lot of ways. And then it projects confidence. Oftentimes it can be perceived as strong, decisive leadership, but in reality, a lot of it comes from an insecurity. So cons, it damages relationships. It alienates people, leading to long-term resentment. There's a loss of respect. Often it degrades into bullying, causing others to lose respect for you. You miss opportunities because when you are an aggressive communicator, oftentimes it shuts down collaboration. People are just like, never mind, I'm not doing this. Let's move on. And then it also escalates conflict. It provokes defensive responses and creates a toxic atmosphere. So the aggressive communicator in a marriage is often, it is what it is. Ladies, we tend to be a little bit more aggressive than men. I can speak for myself and that I am an aggressive communicator. I would say, I'm not going to ask him his opinion. I've gotten better, but I was very much like, if there are certain topics, I know they're all, everyone has those topics that you hit and you're like, I'm not budging. This is how it is. I'm an aggressive communicator. I would say a lot of times women tend to be the more aggressive communicators. And when men aren't aggressive, they tend to be more, the next one, passive. Because women are like, answer me. We need to have an answer. And the guy's like, I'm just not ready for this. I need to take a step back. So then we often get pretty angry about it. So the next one is passive. So these are the passive communicators. They prioritize avoiding confrontation and pacifying others, often at the expense of their own needs and opinions. So pros to this one, it reduces conflict because the person who's passive, it yields to others' decisions by bypassing arguments and keep things calm and agreeable. It avoids hostility. It ensures you're never perceived as a threat, making you easy and pleasant to be around. It prioritizes group harmony. It promotes cooperation. A con, it's suppressed needs. So they rarely advocate for your own goals or feelings. Oftentimes, this builds resentment. Constantly deferring to others leads to a buildup of frustration, and it oftentimes manifests itself in an angry outburst. At least that's what we call it in the therapy world, when someone just completely goes off. They've hit their wall, they're done, and oftentimes it leads to a verbal altercation. And then it encourages exploitation. So they struggle setting limits, so it's easy for others to take advantage. I equated this in marriage to the couple that never fights. Anytime someone comes to me and they're like, oh, we have the perfect marriage, no one ever fights. My question is, who's always getting their way? Because if you're never fighting, that means someone is always yielding to someone else. That 9 out of 10 times, that's what happens. That's not healthy either. It should be together. You guys need to, it's not always one way or another way. I think there needs to be a balance there. So let's move on to the next one. Like I said, I have a lot to get through in a little bit of time. The next one is passive aggressive. So this is expressing negative feelings, anger, or resentment indirectly rather than addressing them openly. So, make sure I have the pros for this one. Yeah, pros is conflict avoidance. It allows a person to steer clear of immediate face-to-face confrontations. Temporary power, it gives subtle sense of control or leverage without taking direct responsibility for tension. Ventilation, it provides indirect outlet for pent-up frustration when a person feels they can't speak their mind openly. And then some cons, it's confusion and mistrust. Often it leaves the recipient feeling confused, hurt, or manipulated. Unresolved issues, it prevents the actual problem from being identified, breeding long-term resentment. And then it just damages relationships. It erodes trust, creating a toxic dynamic in relationships. Aaron kind of mentioned this. The passive aggressive person is one of those people that often hits you with something that hurts really hard, like really deep. Your spouse is the person that knows you the best. They know what kind of sets you off. The passive aggressive person usually takes hold of that. And when it's in an argument, they throw that little one liner that makes you just turn around, double take, and be like, all right, we're doing this again. That tends to be the passive aggressive person. And then we have the empathetic communicator. This person prioritizes active listening, emotional validation, and understanding others' perspectives. You think that number four is what you want to strive for. It's not. That's the next one. And we'll talk about that. But some pros to this one is it builds high trust. People feel seen and valued, which breaks down walls. It de-escalates conflict. It reduces emotional tension. It prevents arguments from spiraling. It improves team morale. Fosters inclusive, positive environments where people feel comfortable sharing. And then some cons to that is emotional exhaustion. This is constantly absorbing and processing emotions can lead to burnout. And then risk of over-accommodation. It prioritizes other people's feelings over clear boundaries. It can cause you to compromise your own needs. And then slower decision-making. It can delay critical or urgent decision-making. The empathetic communicator is oftentimes one of the ones that probably gets taken advantage of the most. They want there to be unity. They strive for unity. Well, oftentimes when you strive every time for unity, then oftentimes, like it said, your needs aren't being met. So again, it's one of those that it's not one way or another. It needs to kind of meet in the middle. So, and number five is the assertive communicator. This is the one that we want to strive for. It's a balance between passive and aggressive styles. It involves expressing your thoughts, your needs, and boundaries clearly and confidently while respecting the rights and opinions of others. Some pros to this one are mutual respect. It aims for a win-win outcome by ensuring everyone feels heard without sacrificing one's own needs. Pros, better boundaries. It prevents others from taking advantage and helps manage interpersonal stress. Improved confidence. Speaking your mind honestly builds self-esteem and garners respect for others. Clearer relationships, direct and honest conversation reduces misunderstandings and fosters trust. Now, some cons to this would be vulnerability. So it means putting yourself out there, which can be uncomfortable at times. You know, I think we can all agree that no one really likes to be vulnerable. This one is one of those that it does require some vulnerability. You do have to put yourself out there. Misinterpretation. So some people mistakenly perceive it as aggression, especially if they're used to passive styles. And I'll circle back to that one. It requires high emotional intelligence. And some of you might be in here going, well, I'm in trouble. That's not the case because we can all have high emotional intelligence. You have to work at it. This one, it takes practice and self-control to maintain a calm, active listening and avoiding criticizing others. And then sometimes it's not always feasible, especially in extreme power balances. A purely assertive approach can be met with a lot of resistance. So I'm going to circle back to the misinterpretation, especially in marriage. Oftentimes I see it one of two ways in a marriage. So say you grew up in a family who was super passive. You all swept it under the rug. We don't talk about it. You get into an argument and your parents were like, oh, nope, 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 back up, back up. So you grew up in a family where that was kind of the norm. Well, either you adopt that style in your marriage or you become an incredibly aggressive communicator because you grew up in a family who didn't talk about stuff. So when you don't talk about stuff, you get married and it was a bad, let's say a traumatic situation, or you grew up in just that style, you become incredibly aggressive because you're like, I am going to be heard whether you like it or not, because I grew up in a family who did not listen to anything. So oftentimes I see more of the aggressive and then we see the passive. Oftentimes there's one who's more aggressive and there's one who's more passive. You know, I would argue with Aaron in a sense of, I think not that women are better communicators, because women, are you a better communicator or are you just louder? Seriously, examine yourself in that. Do you communicate well or are you just louder than your husband when it comes to communication? That's something that you have to realize. I love how so I look at the men and they're like, if you could point to your wife, I mean, you already did. But so that's something to remember, that women, like, it's more than just getting your point across. It's doing it in a healthy way. It's having that constant, like, I promise you, if you strive in your marriage to basically communicate better than your spouse, y'all are gonna be the best communicators ever. You know, we're called to, like I said, love our spouse. We're called to serve our spouse. You should have a contest of who can communicate the best. You guys would be like, wow, this is fantastic. Because let's be honest, that it's like Aaron said, communication is foundation. If you're struggling in other aspects of your marriage, it's because your communication is most likely off. So after that, I'm not going to get into much about how to fix it, because conflict resolution is like 2 weeks and I don't want to take any of their thunder. But I do have a few things that you can work on in regards to maybe putting into practice. So one of the techniques that I have is the headline technique. So this is for the aggressive communicator communicating to the passive communicator. So this makes things quick and not overwhelming for the person who is more of an internal processor, as opposed to the person who's the external processor. So your wife comes home and she's like, I need to talk about work. And I know you're gonna laugh at this because it's I've said this a million times, but I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen for 5 minutes. Don't fix it. And man, that is your out. You don't have to fix it. You just have to listen and you have to engage. Like I said, body language is huge. Eye contact is so important. There have been so many times that I've been in a conversation with someone who is literally just doing this. And I'm like, all right, I'll walk away. I'm like, you're not listening, which is fine. Like, whatever, but I'm not going to keep saying this if you're not going to listen. So this is one of those situations that you can just, I just need you to listen for 5 minutes, but don't fix it. Another technique it could be is the one who is more of an internal processor. You could be like, hey, listen, I need to digest this information. Can we talk about this after dinner? So this shows your spouse that, hey, I'm listening to you. I understand what you're saying. I need a minute to process it, and then let's come back to it. Now, both of those styles require the person on the other end to kind of, in a sense, die to yourself. I understand the aggressive one when you're like, I need to communicate this right now. I understand that you come from a place of like, we need to do this now. Well, it can't always be how you want it all the time. You need to understand that Billy, you said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. If you continue to communicate the same way that you're communicating, I'm not saying you're insane, but I'm saying that it's not working. Why not try something else? You have to put the work into it. So if you're an external processor, that's telling your spouse like, okay, let's come back to it in 20 minutes. Let's all both calm down and then we'll come back to it. And that gives the internal processor like, okay, wow, they're making some effort. It kind of completely tears some walls down. Then you're able to have a conversation. And then if the topic is huge, if it's one of those that you're like, we need time, give it the 24-hour rule. Come back to it in 24 hours. Let your emotions calm down. I know they say never go to bed angry, but let's be honest. Sometimes we go to bed angry, guys. You know, we go to bed angry. So give it 24 hours and then come back to the topic. And if at that point you still can't come to a decision, find someone you trust on the outside that you can go to and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Alex and I had a recent one of those. I was very dig my heels in. I ain't budging. And we had to go seek some outside help for a certain topic. And both of us were kind of left humbled a little bit, because oftentimes we think that we're right. And then we go talk to someone and you're like, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. Thanks. And it makes you think like, wow, maybe I handled myself poorly in that way. So that's that. And then I also wanted to go into kids. I know most of you either don't have kids yet. You have young kids, teenage kids, adult children, and then I will be pretty much done. Perfect. And then we'll do a minute and of just talking amongst your spouses, and then we'll be done. But like I said, I see kids, I see teenagers, and one of the things that I actually stopped doing was telling them, like, have you talked to your parents about this? No, I haven't talked to my parents. I'm like, why don't you talk to your parents about it? Well, then I realized, I'm like, maybe they're right in not talking to their parents about it. How do you address conflict with or communication with your children? Are you the kind of person that your kid comes to you and they're like, hey, mom, hey, dad, and then they say it and you're like, are you kidding me? You're grounded for a month. And they're like, if your kid gets to a point where they feel confident that they can come and talk to you, knowing that there will be consequences, but they feel comfortable talking to you anyway, that is huge. Parents, how do you communicate with your kids? The kids are going to screw up. They're going to mess up. I'm not saying that there aren't consequences for the things that they have done, but if they feel like they can come to you and be like, hey, I screwed up, I know there's going to be consequences, but I also know that you're not going to yell and scream at me for doing something wrong. That's peak parenthood in some ways. Like I said, they know that there's consequences, but they also know that they can come to you and talk to you. And if you tell me, you're like, hey, my kids don't even come and talk, they don't even start the conversation, then I have to ask you, how do you talk to your spouse? How do you communicate with your spouse? Kids are sponges. Oh my gosh, Weston is 5 now. And I swear in the past month, the kid catches everything. Oh my gosh, he catches everything. Well, if your teenager comes to you and your communication style with your spouse is to yell and scream and to be aggressive or to be passive, and your kid comes to you with a conversation and they're like, I'm not coming to you at all. Like, I know how you talk to dad. I know how you talk to mom. Why would it be any different with me? Because let's be honest, it probably won't be any different. So get to a point. It's so important that you communicate well with your spouse and also communicate well with your children. Now, I could go into how we tend to communicate better with our coworkers and things like that. Now, I understand with your wife and your kids, you're more vulnerable at home than you are at work. But I ask the question of why do you communicate worse with your wife and your spouse who love you and deserve the best from you and than your coworkers? Not saying that they deserve less of you, but I can't tell you that they deserve any more of you. I know they don't. So that's just my challenge. Now if you have a spouse here, I do want you to take a minute. No one's in trouble. I want you to talk to your spouse. I want you to ask them, or first I want you to say what you think your communication style is to your spouse. And then I want your spouse to tell you what they think your communication style is. This is not to breed any arguments. Please don't let this breed any arguments, but I just am just running a poll here, okay? So you got a minute and then we'll move on. Not much.